Freak.
Freak.
Accident.
Freak.
Accident.
Freak.
What? Last up to adventure in the amazing year 400 billion.
You know, we could, like, go to jail for this.
Am I going mad? Or did the word think escape your lips?
I might be dangerous.
Try something different today. Get the camera ready. First ever in studio shot. Should I smile? Nah, I want to look. I want to look tough. Maybe a little, you know, maybe, or serious. Half serious? I don't know. Let's try this. Yeah, that's not bad. I'm one good-looking guy. Yeah. Got a great face for radio. Anyway, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Freak Accident Podcast. I am your host, Jeremy, and this episode is dated September 29th, 2006. For those of you who listened last week, I apologize for the subdued nature of the podcast. I was a little under the weather, and I had just sprained my ankle, so it might have been a mixture of being sick and also being in a lot of pain. So I apologize if you listened last week and you found me to be quite boring. I probably sounded a lot like Ben Stein in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I promise that I won't sound like that again, at least not anytime soon. But I will podcast when I'm sick, because you know what? You guys are more important than my health. You know? That's why I'm here. I'm here for you. Anyway, yeah, we started a new feature here at the podcast. On the podcast page, you'll see a first ever in-studio shot of me, which will be quite boring. Maybe I'll find other ways to make the photo of the week more entertaining, in-studio photo of the week. But you can watch as my facial hair changes, because at least there, I do something different every couple of weeks, and my wife kind of hates that. But hey, I'm a guy, and I like, you know, the manliness of growing a beard or a goatee or a... you know, maybe I'll go for a Hulk Hogan Fu Manchu sometime. That would rock. Anyway, we're going to get started here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to talk movies and comics, and then we'll go through the Freak Five, and then we'll tie this bad boy up like a good old Christmas present and get out of here. So sit tight, relax, and enjoy the show.
Freak Movies.
Opening this week in the theaters is The Guardian, starring Kevin Costner and Ashton Kutcher, in a movie which looks like it's about the Coast Guard, I think. It looks really intense. It looks like a pretty good movie, probably a decent guy flick. Also opening this week is Open Season. We'll talk a little bit more about that. It features the voices of both Ashton Kutcher and Martin Lawrence, as well as a bunch of other people. And I wonder if this is the first time a movie has opened featuring... or two movies have opened with the same actor, but one is animated and one is not. I wonder if anybody can go out there. Maybe I'll get Joey Diamonds to look it up. You know, Joey might, you know, have some time. He's sitting in a, you know, locked room, just surfing the internet, finding stuff here for the Freak. And maybe he'll take a look for me, or I'll take a look. I don't know. We'll see. Also opening up is School for Scoundrels, starring Billy Bob Thornton and John Hader. Everybody knows Billy Bob Thornton mostly for probably contracting some sort of disease from Angelina Jolie, as well as Sling Blade.
Mm-hmm. I love me the eggs and the taters with mustard. Mm-hmm.
And everybody also knows John Hader as Napoleon Dynamite, who I think John Hader should probably change his name to Napoleon Dynamite, because when you hear John Hader, you don't know who he is, but when you hear Napoleon Dynamite, you know he's the goofy-looking kid with the afro and glasses. You know, it would work. I think that it could become a novelty act, and I don't know if he's ever going to be taken seriously as an actor, but this movie actually looks pretty good. From what I've seen, basically it's about a guy who takes... Billy Bob Thornton's character takes John Hader under his wing and teaches him how to get chicks. So, that could be interesting. Also, Jesus Camp is opening up. I've heard very little about this, but it basically it's a movie about a documentary about a woman who runs a camp for youth, a youth camp over the summer, and you know it's a basic Pentecostal youth camp, seen through the eyes of people who aren't born again Christians. And my view of documentary is very
I don't know if it's different for most people, but having taken a class in documentary in college and watched a lot of documentaries, which I enjoy watching, don't get me wrong, documentary films, and I don't think, I think this will probably be the case with Jesus Camp, are biased almost 95% of the time. There are the cinema verite, which is basically fly on the wall, watch it as it happens. But what happens is when you shoot stuff, you can take things out of context. Michael Moore. Or you can piece together, you know, two different days to make it look like the same day. When you put footage in the hands of an editor who might be biased, you'll get a picture that might not be the full story. Paradise Lost! I'm sorry. I got something in my throat. Anyway, you know, Lenny Riefenstahl and the Nazis. Yeah, so documentary filmmaking is really just another form of telling fiction. I don't think you'll ever get the true story unless you just set a camera up and you watch for you know, 6 weeks or, you know, and show 6 weeks of footage. You're always going to take things out of context. You can take what I'm saying right now and edit it together for me talking not about documentary, but talking about the news or talking about anything else. So you never really know what really happens. So if you watch a documentary and if you watch Jesus Camp, I don't think you're getting 100% of the truth. And that's just my opinion before seeing it. Now, if I watch it and, you know, I might be offended. You know, being a born-again Christian, I can watch that and see, okay, yeah, that might be, you know, a little out of whack, or, hey, she's doing that wrong, or she's saying the wrong thing, or she's saying something a little bit different than it really is. She's taking it out of context. So that's the way that documentaries normally act. So, anyway, those are the movies opening up this week. And let's get back to open season. I have been adamant and very vocal about my dislike for the amount of CGI movies that are being released by Hollywood. It's almost an oversaturation of movies in CGI. I heard one friend once say that CGI should be a tool and not the actual movie. It should be a tool to make good movies. And we've seen a lot of bad CGI this year. Barnyard, for instance. I think last year they had Chicken Little by Disney. Shark Tale a couple years ago was horrible. I didn't like Ants by DreamWorks. I mean, there's a ton of bad CGI movies that have been released. And I try to hold judgment because I don't see a lot of movies. I don't get out to the movies unless there's a studio executive or two that would like me to review their films that could send me previews. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I try to give them the benefit of the doubt. If I say it looks bad, I just say it looks bad from the trailer, you know. And that's the way I judge films 95% of the time. 99% of the time is I judge them by the trailer. Do I want to watch this movie? Do I want to waste my money or my 2 hours watching a movie that I'm not interested in? That's why I didn't go see Little Man over the summer, for instance. And I know that wasn't a CGI movie, but it might as well have been. It was really bad. But I try to be fair when I don't say I'm reviewing a movie. I say why I'm not going to see it. Now, Entertainment Weekly did a review of Open Season. And I'll tell you right now, full disclosure, I have a friend who worked on this movie for a good 3.5 years. So he's got a lot invested in this movie. He worked, I think he animated some, but he also managed a bunch of the animators and stuff. So he's got a lot of heart invested in this movie. And I'm going to read you the entire Entertainment Weekly review and tell me what you think. This is just to develop your own opinion. Have you ever watched Ashton Kutcher boom through his punked intros and thought, that guy should hurry up and get himself a cartoon voice gig? He does cute, jacked-up work in Open Season as a broken-antlered buck named Elliot, who helps Boog, Martin Lawrence, a house-trained grizzly banished to the forest, get back to his mountain town. Yet aside from Kutcher and the movie's comfy autumnal palette, its brownie reds and light greens, the over-familiar Open Season feels like another CG tune in our tune-glutted times. That's not even a review. Honestly, that's like what you'd see on the back of a DVD case. Filtered through, like, a ton of bias. Obviously, Warner Brothers owns EW. Warner Brothers did not make this movie. This is by Sony Pictures. And maybe they're just trying to tear down whatever they don't like. Honestly, I think this isn't even a review. It shouldn't be a review. So what I'm going to do is I want to send all of you to the link that will be in the show notes at freak-accident.blogspot.com. And what I want you to do is go there and just review the review. Trash it, trash it, trash it, trash it. I want to see this review actually polled. I want them to do an actual review. Point out what you liked about it. Point out what you hate about it. Do it in a way that actually appears like you watched the movie. I don't believe this Gregory Kerschling, this guy who has a pretty cushy job at EW reviewing movies, have him actually do some work. This isn't even a review. It's not a review. It's just a biased synopsis of the plot. And so what I really, really want to see is a bunch of people going there and just trashing this review. So do that, please. Do that for me and do it for my friend Jack, who spent a lot of time on this movie. Make them do their work. All right, in upcoming movie news, there's a Knight Rider film in the works. I don't know if any of you actually watched Knight Rider as a child. I know that I did. I will admit that I was envious of David Hasselhoff. He had a talking car. And it was cool. He drove into the back of the tractor trailer. Just a really neat movie. Now, apparently, or no, neat TV show. And apparently they've been working on a Knight Rider film for a couple of years, just in development. And apparently, Hasselhoff, the Hoff, has been going around trying to drum up interest in getting him in the movie, but he's not going to be in the movie. He apparently approached Orlando Bloom to play his son in the movie, and he turned him down, smartly enough. So, I don't know where this is going to go. It'll be interesting to see this story pan out, whether or not Hasselhoff will even make an appearance in the movie as a cameo. I think what the story is that Hasselhoff wants to play the same character, Michael Knight, in the movie for the Knight Rider film and turn it into a spin-off where he has a younger generation. But really what needs to be done is a complete reboot. Not like with some of these movies you see coming out in development, like the Transformers, where you do a reboot, but you completely piss on the source material. But you take the source material and you update it and you honor it. Sort of like the Ultimate Comics do in Marvel's universe. You have the Ultimate Spider-Man, which is basically the same stories you saw in the 60s, but it's updated for a modern audience. And I could see Knight Rider doing that. It would be really neat to see. I think Hasselhoff has spent too much time living in the past that he thinks he is actually still relevant and could be that character that he was in the Knight Rider television show in the mid-80s. I don't think that's going to work. So, I'm excited. A Knight Rider movie could rock if it's done properly. I don't want to see a rehash of you know, I don't want to see Hasselhoff running around in that pleather jacket. You know, I'd rather see something updated for the modern times. I'll watch Knight Rider on DVD, but I won't watch Hasselhoff now. Case in point, Knight Rider 2000 a few years ago. I don't think anybody watched that. I might have it on video, though. I might have to dig. In other movie news, for those of you keeping track of my viewing of the Pirates of the Caribbean, or my lack of viewing of the Pirates of the Caribbean, and my stance on not wanting to watch a movie a movie based on a theme park ride, case in point, Country Bears or Haunted Mansion. I know Pirates of the Caribbean is popular and is probably in a different league than those two movies, but it's based on a theme park ride. Apparently, Disney is developing a movie based on the ride Jungle Cruise. I've never been to Disney, but I'm sure Jungle Cruise is probably going to suck golf balls through a straw. Although it's being developed as from a script by the guys behind Smallville, Al Gu and Miles Miller. Millar. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Is it Al Goff? I'm not sure. Anyway, they've written the script, so maybe it's an actually good movie, but it's gonna stop. I mean, what's next? They gonna make a live-action version of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride? Yeah, that'll be fun. Okay. Coming out next summer, of course. I don't know if it's next summer, but the summer after. The sequel to Fantastic Four. Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer has tapped Weta, the company behind the special effects in movies like King Kong, and of course the beloved Lord of the Rings trilogy, is going to be creating state-of-the-art versions of the Marvel Comics character Silver Surfer. So Weta is going to be doing the animation and the effects for Silver Surfer. Maybe Fantastic Four 2 will actually be what Fantastic Four 1 should have been. Doug Jones, who was in Hellboy, he played, I'm not sure what the character's name was in Hellboy, but he was in Hellboy. He's going to play the Silver Surfer in the same way that Andy Serkis played Gollum, meaning that he's going to do all the motions, and they're going to capture the motions and animate a character over that. But they haven't announced who the voice is going to be of the Silver Surfer. I'm not even sure how they're going to do the voice of Silver Surfer. But anyway, that's exciting because Weta is, I believe, fast becoming the new ILM. And tapping Weta to work on a Marvel film is huge because if they do a good job and this movie just nails it out of the ballpark, I can see them doing a lot of stuff for the next few movies that Marvel does that requires heavy-duty special effects. So I'm excited about that. Also in movie news, Apple Trailers has a trailer for the movie Aragorn, based on the book of the same title. I watched the trailer, and to be honest with you, this might be one of the few book-to-movie adaptations where the movie is actually better than the book. The book, if you don't know, was written by a 16 or 17-year-old boy who obviously has a fascination with the fantasy world, which I can't spit on him for that. But the book itself was horribly written, in my opinion. There was a lot of use of adverbs that didn't need to be used, and it just was a bad book. But the story has a lot of good nuggets in it. And I think the movie has taken the chance to really pull out the good nuggets and make it a good action movie. Jeremy Irons is featured in it as the mentor for the main character, Aragorn. And I believe it's John Malkovich who's playing the villain. And it looks exciting, the effects look good, and I've heard one person say maybe this is what the Dungeons & Dragons movie should have been. And I don't know, I didn't watch a D&D movie. I've never been into D&D, so go watch the trailer. It'll be in the show notes. It looks really good and very exciting. In my favorite movie news of the week is this. Starting filming in March is The Dark Knight. Michael Caine wrote on his official website that he will reprise the role of Alfred in March. And I'm excited about it. I quote from his website, In January I start shooting a remake of Sleuth with Jude Law, directed by Kenneth Branagh, with a very different screenplay from the original by Harold Pinter. After that, in March, I reprise my butler role in the second Batman, again directed by Christopher Nolan, starring Christian Bale. This one is the Joker, and the Joker is Heath Ledger. Great casting. Yeah, I am not against Heath Ledger as the Joker. He's got that big toothy smile, and that's what the Joker needs, and he's got such good acting chops. I am excited about that. So starting in March, they're going to be shooting, which I think maybe in 2008 is when the movie will come out. I'll be there opening night. Will you? Shrek 3 has released their poster, I don't want to see a third Shrek movie. I'm tired of Shrek. I'm tired of it. I don't like the animation. I think it looks like crap. I don't mind that there's a lot of jokes in it that are, you know, in jokes or pop culture references. Eddie Murphy has his moments as a funny sidekick, but what more can they do? It's sort of like the endless scary movie parody movies coming out. They'll find other things to pan. I wonder what they're going to do next. The first one they did The Matrix and pro wrestling, and I don't remember much about the second one. I think they did Stay Puft Marshmallow Man reference, and I don't know. My kid will love it, so I'll probably see it, but I'm not very excited about it. They've also released casting news for Aliens vs. Predator 2. Michelle Dessler, also known as Ryko Aylesworth. I know Michelle Dessler was her character name on 24. Don't email me. Ryko Aylesworth will be in it, as well as Stephen Pasquale, who is in Rescue Me. They're going to face off against the aliens and the predators. And, you know, I watched the first Alien vs. Predator movie, and I've read a few of the comics. I've never been a huge fan of them. I like them on their own. Together, they're a little bit boring. I you know what I would like to see? Aliens vs. Predator as Romeo and Juliet. You know, a young alien buck meets this hot predator chick, and they fall in love, and then they make weird-looking acid babies, and they have to fight each other, and because they're from the wrong families. And you know, I would pay money for that. I am not excited about a sequel to Aliens vs. Predator. So that's all I have for movie news. I know I went a little long, but we'll see where we go from here with comics.
Freak Comics.
Today in comics, I'm going to discuss a webcomic that came across my desk today. It's called My Life in Records, and it's by Grant Thomas. It can be found at mylifeinrecords.comicgenesis.com, and it's updated every Friday. The basic synopsis of this comic is that it's about the life of the author as he grew up without a television for 8 years, and he had records, a lot of records, and the records kind of shape every story that I've read so far. The art is very simple, but I don't mean that in it's easy to draw. I mean it in the fact that it's not complicated. A lot of artists spend so much time, you know, putting in so many little details, and that's not a bad thing, but with this comic, it works in the fact that there's not a lot of backgrounds, but it's got a lot of heart. It's a very sweet comic. You can see the genuine affection that he has for his family, and you can see that his family actually had a lot of love for each other. Now, I haven't read the whole thing, so I might actually not know the whole story yet, so don't give me any don't give me any flack if you get down to the middle of the road and, you know, the main character butchers all of his family or something, but it seems really good. The main character, of course, is Black Bunny, who I believe is based on the author, and it's just really, really a sweet story. It reminds me a lot of Craig Thompson's Blankets without the cynicism. It reminds me of Calvin and Hobbes because it has all that imaginative, it just has that childlike feeling. Very, very sweet comic, and it's a comic that I can't recommend more. So go there to mylifeinrecords.comicgenesis.com. Check it out and read it. I think you'll enjoy it. If you like quirky but fun and sweet and endearing comics, and email Grant and let him know you like it. I'm going to do that. I'm going to tell him that I reviewed it here. And it's just a really, really neat comic. The other thing that really stuck out to me about this was he's hosting at a place called Comic Genesis. And it's a free web hosting provider for web comics. I haven't looked into it a lot, but it's neat that there's a free web hosting service dedicated to web comics. I can go here, and I'm looking right now at, let me see, 1, 2, 3. I'm looking at a possibility of 18 web comics just sitting in front of me, and there's more, I'm sure. You can browse the comics, look at them, and it gives a lot of opportunity for artists who might not be able to afford web hosting. That's why I don't have my own website yet, because Podomatic has provided me a free service to host my podcast, because I can't afford a website myself yet. That's why I don't go see movies. I can't afford to see them. So it's nice to see that there's a service out there to host webcomics. I can't 100% recommend everything on there. I'm sure that there might be a few things that aren't my speed. But it just, there's a lot of stuff there. And it opens up a lot of possibilities for the artists that might be starving, literally, and not be able to afford to pay for web hosting, but they want to make art and they want to get it out in the world. Now, the double-edged sword to that is you'll have, you know, 3 good comics and 7 bad ones, or vice versa. You can now any Joe Schmuck can put a comic up. I can't draw. I could draw a comic and make a web comic right now that would probably suck eggs, and I could do it, you know. But that's the great thing about the internet. Everybody can do something. That's why a schmuck like me can get onto my microphone here and record a podcast, even though I'm not a professional broadcaster. And the internet is the great equalizer here, and I'm excited. This is neat. If you're an artist and you're doing comics and you've been showing them off to your friends, why don't you try out this comicgenesis.com and let me know how it is. If it's any good. If you are a comic creator and you would like me to review your comics, you can send me an email at freakax@gmail.com. That's freakax@gmail.com, and we'll work something out. I would love to review your comic because it gives me material to talk about here on the podcast. So that's all I have for comics. So let's get on to the Freak Five.
Freak Five.
Last week's Freak Five was probably the stupidest Freak Five in the history of the Freak Accident, and I apologize, even though I'm at my 2-month anniversary, or a little bit past 2 months here at the Freak Accident. Last week's Freak Five was probably the dumbest, and I guess I could probably blame that on being sick and having some cold medicine running through my veins, and it gave me some very interesting ideas, and so I apologize for how stupid last week's Freak Five was. And the last week's Freak Five, if you don't remember, was what piece of comic book gear would you not be caught dead wearing? And the only response I got was from Josh in Maine, who wrote and said Namor Speedo. Yeah, I wouldn't want to wear Namor Speedo either. Have you ever seen those guys who actually think they can pull off the Speedo? I don't think anybody really can pull off the Speedo. Yeah, that sounded gay. No, there's not many people who can wear a Speedo and actually make it look good. I don't think anybody actually can. You know, like those fat European guys you see on the beaches, you know, that are all, you know, they look like they're wearing a sweater even though they took their shirt off. You know, and they're walking around in that Speedo that sort of disappears under the roll. Yeah, that's what I would look like in Namor's Speedo myself. But I couldn't come up with any myself, you know. I don't know why I even came up with that as a Freak Five topic. What about Doctor Doom's mask? You know, I couldn't wear Doctor Doom's mask. I don't know if I'd be able to breathe if I was wearing Dr. Doom's mask. So, I couldn't come up with anything. I apologize for how dumb that was. But next week, I think I have a good one. I have a good one. Maybe I'll get actually 5 responses and won't have to come up with any myself. Here's the Freak Five. Your Freak Five question of the week is, what book, and I mean literature book, and that's anything that's been released in book form, except for comics, because, you know, what book would you like to see adapted into a comic? Simple enough. What piece of literature would you like to see as a comic? For instance, a couple years ago, I would have said The Dark Tower by Stephen King. I think that would be a great comic book, if not The Dark Tower stories, but The Dark Tower universe. What if that was adapted in comic book? I would say that, but Marvel's developing that into a comic book as we speak, and hopefully that'll be out soon. But I think February 2007 was the last thing I read. But so The Dark Tower would have been my answer. But I might have a couple others. But what book would you like to have seen adapted to comic book form? I mean, you could even say, if you're a C.S. Lewis fan, this has been done before, but The Screwtape Letters. That was a great book that was adapted into a comic book. So there's a lot of room to play around. Come up with a book that you think would be a great comic, you know? And maybe I'll inspire some artist to do some conceptual art for you. send all your responses to the Freak Five to FreakAx, that's FreakAx at gmail.com. That's FreakAx at gmail.com. Or you could be the first ever featured Freak Five response to our listener line at 206-203-2938. That's 206-203-2938. Keep it clean and keep it freaky. Dial recklessly. And let's button this thing up.
Check, please.
Something just dawned on me. I didn't do a turkey of the week this week. I have one, but I really didn't put some effort into it. So maybe next week we'll bring back the turkey of the week, which is my new favorite feature here at the podcast. I don't know how you feel, but I like that I can do a turkey of the week, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good. I promise you, next week we'll make up for a lack of a turkey this week. So I apologize if you're looking forward to another turkey. But anyway, I didn't do a turkey of the week. Oh, well. We're going to close this thing up for the day. Remember to send all feedback to freakax@gmail.com. That's FreakAx@gmail.com. That's FreakAx@gmail.com. Or feel free to call our listener line. Get your voice in here at 206-203-2938. That's 206-203-2938. And, yeah, so we'll be back next week with another full-length episode of The Freak Accident. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. Special thanks go to my producer, Joey Diamonds, who's locked in the basement and searching the internet frantically for movie news and comic news and all that other fun stuff. And thank you for listening yet again. I thanked you already, but thanks. Yeah, so let's get out of here.
Freak. Accident. Accident.